Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a brake lab sampler rack in Ableton Live 12 that takes one sampled brake and turns it into a tight, mix-ready jungle weapon. We're going after crisp transients, dusty mids, controlled low end, and a workflow that feels fast enough for real drum and bass programming. So this is not just about making a brake sound old, it's about making it hit hard in a modern mix while still carrying that old school pressure. The core idea is simple. Split the brake into different jobs. One layer handles attack and snap. One layer carries the body and groove. One layer brings in that dusty, gritty character that makes jungle feel alive. When those pieces work together, the brake stops sounding like a loop and starts sounding like a performance. So first, choose the right source. You want a brake with clear kick and snare peaks, a bit of room tone or hiss, some ghost notes, and not too much sub information. Amen brakes, think style brakes, funk loops, old soul chops, all of that is fair game. The sweet spot is a brake that already sounds good raw, but is just a little imperfect. That imperfection is the magic. Now drop the brake into simpler on a MIDI track. For the first pass, keep warp off so you hear the natural tone of a sample. You can use classic mode if you want to manually isolate hits, or slice mode if you want Ableton to detect transients and map the slices across your keyboard. Gate trigger feels great for responsive playback, especially when you're chopping and re-triggering fragments. Keep fades short so you avoid clicks, but don't overdo it. You still want the edges of the sample to feel sharp and immediate. Next, build your brake rack. The easiest way to think about it is three layers: transient, body, and dust. The transient layer is all about attack. This is the snap of the snare, the click of the kick, the part that cuts through the mix. Put an EQ 8 first and high pass it somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it stays out of the way of the bass. If the snare needs more crack, try a gentle boost around 3 to 6 kHz. If it gets harsh, trim a little around 7 to 9 kHz instead of just boosting more top. Then add drum bus and push the transients control a little, maybe 10 to 30%. Keep boom low or off here. After that, a little saturator with soft clip-on can help the layer feel more solid without turning brittle. The goal is not to make it huge. The goal is to make it speak. A good way to check this layer is to solo it and ask yourself, can I hear the stick hit the skin? Does the kick click without sounding fake? Is the snare sharp, but not piercing? If yes, you're in the zone. The body layer is the meat of the break. This is the part that gives the loop weight, groove, and bounce. Start with EQ 8 again. You can low pass it somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz to keep it from getting too bright, and high pass it around 35 to 50 Hz if there's useless rumble. If the brake feels boxy, a small cut around 250 to 400 Hz can clean it up. Then add glue compressor with a slower attack, somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and a release that's either auto or in the 0.3 to 0.6 second range. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You want the body to feel glued, not crushed. After that, saturator can add a few dB of drive to thicken the whole thing. This layer should feel like the center of the brake, the part that keeps the groove moving. Then we get to the dusty mids layer, and this is where the old school energy really lives. Start by high passing around 200 to 350 Hz, so it doesn't compete with the body or the bass. Then low pass around 6 to 9 kHz to keep the top from getting too modern or crispy. Focus this chain in the 500 Hz to 3 kHz zone, where a lot of character lives. If you want extra grime, use redux or roar very subtly. The trick here is restraint. You're not trying to destroy the sample. You're trying to give it that tape, final, room or mic bleed feeling. A little auto filter can add gentle movement, and utility can help narrow the width if the layer gets too messy. This layer should be more felt than noticed. It's the dust in the room, not the spotlight. Once all three layers are built, bring them up together and balance them. A good starting point is to let the transient layer lead or sit equal with the body, keep the body slightly under control, and let the dust layer sit lowest in level, but still audible. If the break feels exciting but small, raise the body. If it sounds muddy, reduce the body around 200 to 400 Hz. If it feels flat, add more transient energy or a little saturation. If it sounds too clean, nudge the dust layer up and soften the high end a bit. After that, add a glue stage on the whole rack. On the rack output, use EQ 8 for small cleanup if needed, then glue compressor with attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, ratio around 2 to 1, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Add a little saturator with soft clip-on, and use utility if you need to keep the low end centered. The key here is movement. Jungle brakes need energy and bounce. If you overcompress them, they turn into a flat slab. Now comes the fun part, Programming the break in a jungle flow. Use a 1-bar or 2-bar loop and start introducing variation. Think ghost notes, snare pickups, tiny silence gaps, reversed hits, and quick kick stutters. Don't just lock everything to a rigid grid and call it done. A lot of the feel comes from micro-edits and tiny timing differences. Use the original break's groove if it helps, or extract the groove and apply it lightly. Velocity variation matters a lot too. If every hit has the same intensity, the pattern starts sounding like a machine instead of a drummer. For an old-school feel, add just one or two subtle extras. Tiny pitch shifts on a few chops can make the whole pattern breathe. A short reversed hit before a snare can create pull. A filtered repeat or delayed ghost snare every couple of bars can add that classic drag. You can use delay, echo, reverb on sends, or auto filter for breakdown movement, but keep it subtle. The break still needs to function in the mix. And speaking of the mix, the break and the bass line need to cooperate. In drum and bass, that means the break owns the mid-range rhythm pocket, while the bass owns the sub and lower low mids. If the bass is strong around 150 to 300 Hz, carve a little pocket there in the break. If the snare disappears, make space in the bass around 1 to 3 kHz only if you truly need it. The goal is not to make everything huge. The goal is to make each element clear enough to punch. A really useful coach tip here: don't chase perfect balance too early. In this style, one layer often benefits from being a little exaggerated. Maybe the snare bite is slightly forward. Maybe the dusty upper mids are a bit more obvious than you'd normally allow. That little bit of attitude is part of the hook. Also, always judge the rack in context. A transient that sounds a little sharp in solo might be exactly right once the bass and pads come in. If the break feels too thin, add mid-body before adding low end. If it feels too harsh, soften the transient layer rather than dulling the whole break. If it feels too polite, push a parallel dirt path and blend it low. If it gets messy, narrow the dust layer and clean up the low-mid overlap. Those four moves solve a lot of problems fast. For a darker, heavier DNB vibe, try a few advanced variations. You can split the break by frequency roll instead of only tone roll. So instead of just transient, body and dust, think punch, texture and weight. That can make mixing way easier because each chain has a clearer job. You can also build a late snare version by duplicating the snare and delaying it by about 10 to 25 milliseconds, keeping it lower in volume and high-passed. That creates a subtle dragging feel that works beautifully in rollers. You can even make two dust flavors, a warm dust version that feels tape-ish and rolled off, and a cold dust version that feels a little more brittle and bit-reduced. Alternate them between sections, or automate them so the track evolves without needing new samples. Another strong move is to create a break response chain, a second lane that only comes in on fills or accents, with filter delay, short reverb, and aggressive high pass. That call and response trick is very jungle. You can also let velocity control the tone. Softer hits can lean dustier, harder hits can lean more transient heavy. That makes your programmed break feel more like a real player changing intention with each hit. And if you want even more realism, layer tiny microsamples under the break, like a vinyl click under the snare or a short analog tick under the kick. Keep them very quiet. They're there for definition, not for attention. As for arrangement, don't keep the break static all the way through. Let it evolve. In the intro, filter it down and lean into room and dust. In the drop, bring the full transient impact. In the mid-section, simplify and let the bass breathe. In the second drop, add extra fill variation or more edge. Out of the drop, strip it back again. Small edits like removing a kick before a snare, muting the dust layer for one bar, or adding a one-hit break stop can make a loop feel alive. Here's a great practice move: build a 2-bar jungle loop from one break. Split it into transient, body, and dust. Process each layer differently. Write a MIDI pattern with one strong snare emphasis, a few ghost hits, and at least one fill at the end of bar 2. Then add a rolling sub bass line underneath and check the mix at low volume. If it still feels energetic when quiet, and the snare still cracks through, you've got a strong foundation. For homework, go one step further and make 3 versions of the same break. Build a clean punch version with strong transient and minimal dust. Build a dirty classic version with more mid-grit and softer top. Then build a fill or transition version with extra tail, delay, or filtered movement. If all 3 versions come from the same source break and each one serves a different arrangement role, you've built a real toolkit instead of a one-off preset. So the big takeaway is this: split your break into jobs, shape each layer with intention, keep the low end under control, and use groove and micro-editing to bring it to life. That's how you get crisp transients, dusty mids, and that authentic jungle old-school DNB pressure in Ableton Live 12. Now go load up a break, build the rack, and make it hit.